Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
To come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness, like before, in your fingertips. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. May 12th, 2017 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm a not so humble, but not that good poet. The grammatical mistake is on purpose. I'm here with JT. And with Christine. JT, first off, how you doing, my friend?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm all right.
How's the week been?
Odd.
Odd?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Some days were fast. Other days were slow. I stayed late on Monday. I worked the late shift on Monday. It was weird.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good.
We're going to get into that. The time distortion thing is a little bit different.
It is.
We can talk about that. Christine, who is sitting here to my right. Da-da-da. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Not too bad?
Happy Teacher's Week.
Yeah, it kind of went by and I didn't even think about it, but thank you. Happy Nurses Week,
by
the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, yes, yes. Apparently we have the same week, which you think they could come up with two separate weeks.
Well, ours is because it's Florence Nightingale's birthday.
I don't know why mine is. I'll have to look it up. Like, it's mine. Teachers is my week. No, it's
yeah, there you
week.
Go.
I don't need a week. I'm fine. I don't need a week.
No, he just wants a month.
I want the whole year.
There it is.
Yes. The year of the Michael.
The year round. Of the Michael. Where does that fall between the dog and the rat?
Wow. It's kind of like there's monkey. I think what it is, there's donkey, rat, dog, monkey. And then we skip the rooster or the cock year, and then that's mine. And then we just go to the next.
Okay. So gotcha. does that happen, you know, every other 12th cycle?
In my mind, it's always my year.
Okay, that's about as much trivia as I've got.
Actually, I totally made up. I have no knowledge of Chinese zodiac. Okay. Anyway, so here we are. It's the second edition of our show for this May.
Yes.
Yes. And so last week we teased kind of who the poet of the month is. I'm going to do that again this week as well. But we're also going to hear some poetry from poets around the country and around the globe. And we will have an edition of Studio X.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do I get to push the button?
I guess I should figure out what I'm going to play. You can't. No one can push the button on the collider but JT.
He doesn't even push it.
It's been under repair, I think.
A button has been under repair.
No.
The collider.
What that button leads to. It's one of those ones like, don't touch the button until we got it fixed.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's kind of like the blender. Until you have the blades tightened down, don't hit go.
I was wondering why your hair was a little shorter on one side.
This is a lesson I learned the hard way.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, so... let's do our two rules here before we go into the first segment. If you've never called in before, this is how it's going to work. We're going to do a segment with five unique callers, which means first call, first serve. For first call. For, I can't speak.
Wow.
I can't speak the English language today.
Take the bottle away. I
might as well away. Just... Okay.
You feel better?
Yeah, that's from Last of the Mohicans. Anyway. Okay. First call, first served, right? So when we answer your call first, you'll be first in line.
Yep.
And then we'll do five unique callers.
Yep.
Go through that. Then we'll do another call-in segment. Do the same thing until we run out of unique callers or we don't hit five. Right.
Right.
Until we don't hit five.
Right.
Then we'll go to our return engagement.
Yes.
Okay. Which means anybody can call back in. We have two rules. One is no hate speech. Number two, no word porn. So we try to skew PG-13, but we understand if you're using the words with artistic integrity and it's for the piece, absolutely. If it gets gratuitous, we might jump in and cut it off. Those are the two rules, though. That's it. Battle Royale. All the poetry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. First segment, we need five unique callers. 720-240-9766.
It's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
We had the professor Lenny C. there. You know, every time he says rock the mic, I think he's starting to say guacamole, and I get excited. Guacamole. Guacamole. I'm like, what? Where? Did you hear that avocados are the most expensive they've ever been right now?
Yeah, it's...
This directly affects my life, you know.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. No, well, those trips to Chipotle are going to get expensive here in just a bit.
No, you know it. No, it's funny.
You know that's
I saw,
extra. Sorry, just
no. It.
Sure
I do. I do know.
Knew that
trust
it was
me.
Extra.
I know it's extra.
Yeah. Wish they would understand that we know. Sorry.
No, you know I figure people at Chipotle say, you know what's extra if you get extra guacamole? It's because they probably had someone freak out on them 3 minutes earlier. Like what? That's an extra. I'm not paying extra for guacamole.
Why do you have it next to the lettuce and not on the very end? Like, it splits the lettuce and the sour cream.
I'm sure they have it figured out.
Do you know why?
To be fair, I'm sure they've systemized that thing to a ridiculous level.
Like, this has anything to do with poetry, but do you know why the guacamole is there and not the last one?
Why?
So they put the lettuce on top of the guacamole so it doesn't stick to the top of your lid, to the bottom of your lid when they put your lid on it.
That.
I'm sorry. I still know it's extra. It should be extra.
No, I
get
what
you're
saying.
They can always go back to the...
If you look at Chipotle, like, if you look at writing a poem, if you look at writing a poem, like, you're looking at building a burrito bowl at Chipotle.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So your protein...
Yes.
...is, and the beans in a way...
Yeah.
...those are like your nouns.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And you start to tie it together... using verbs and you know which is which kind of like the cheese, although I would say cheese kind of goes into adjective category.
Guys,
yeah,
we have people on the hold.
Then there's the cream,
right,
which
I'm trying
is
people.
Only used in cases when someone doesn't know what they're talking about.
Okay,
like right now let's go to the first caller.
Oh my god,
in Pennsylvania. Let's go to Jim.
It's gonna be a fun night, folks.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Would you care to extrapolate on that?
Well, I've had off the last since yesterday because new schedule. I get work 3 days and have 4 days off, except every other Sunday during busy season. And was over for a sleep study follow up, and I got the result from my sleep study.
Ooh.
From a while back.
Okay.
I did not realize how bad that was.
Yeah, it's a scary number, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they said that I stopped breathing about 106 times in an hour.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm much better now.
Good. Good. No, I bet you are, especially with a CPAP machine. I bet you are. Oh, man.
You might want to get two with numbers like that.
No.
Really?
It doesn't work that way, Michael.
You're
sorry.
Such a doofus.
You can't just double up on the mask.
You can't just double up on the
mask. You got a redundancy?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
All right. Uh-huh. Hey, Jim, I'm glad you got that taken care of. That is a really big deal.
Thank you. I'm glad I did, too.
Awesome.
I cannot believe that off I was.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The fact that you're passing out and falling down, you know, in the middle of a work shift is probably a clue that something pretty serious is off. So I'm really... I think all of us are happy about that you got it handled. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, so what do you have for us this week?
Well, since Sunday is Mother's Day.
Yes.
I made a quick decision to try and find one. This is a selection from Good Poems, compiled by Garrison Keillor. It's titled To My Mother by Wendell Berry. I was your rebellious son, do you remember? Sometimes I wonder if you do remember, so complete has your forgiveness been. So complete has your forgiveness been, I wonder sometimes if it did not precede my wrong, and I erred, safe found within your love. Prepared ahead of me the way home, or my bed at night, so that almost I should forgive you, who perhaps foresaw the worst that I might do, and forgave before I could act, causing me to smile now, looking back to see how paltry was my worst compared to your forgiveness of it already given. And this then is the vision of that heaven of which we have heard, where those who love each other have forgiven each other, where for that the leaves are green, the light and music in the air, and all is unentangled and all is undismayed. End of poem.
And that was a very nice read, Jim. I do have to say, since you said it was Garrison Keillor, I was really worried about the language in that poem. I was hoping it wasn't going to go too, you know, off the cuff and, you know, NC-17. But I'm glad you made the choice you did. It was a no, Jim. That was really good. Thank you.
Well, if you remember, the collection of good poems is the ones that he read on the Writer's Almanac.
Right. I do remember that.
So those would be. PG, because it is public radio, and they're not going to, well, like this, the seven words you're not allowed to sell on television, it's even worse on radio.
Yep.
Oh, I'm glad I know this now. damn it.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. It's okay. Not one of them. No, Jim, you're right. That was, absolutely. Good choice, man. Thanks so much. And everybody, remember, it's Mother's Day Sunday.
Yes.
Go get your mother something.
Unfortunately, that's not possible.
No, I
understand.
Jim, I know in your case, but I'm saying for everyone else listening, whether or not she's with you, do something in memory of her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and her birthday's coming up next Saturday.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. All right.
Yeah, and I'll be doing what we both like to do, Civil War reenacting. We have a living history at in Lebanon next week, next Saturday. Yeah, I can talk. Yeah, next Saturday.
Sweet.
Well, awesome, man. Awesome.
All right.
Jim, thank you so much. And will we hear from you in the return engagement?
Possibly.
Okay. Well, we hope so. Okay. Well, we hope you can make it. And we'll talk to you then. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. What do you think? Pennsylvania to me always sounded like it should be really gothic. What do you think?
Well, I thought they always made pencils there when I was a kid.
You know, and once I found out that wasn't the case, I thought the next thing, Pennsylvania sounds so close to Transylvania.
Nobody crosses oceans of time.
You know, I'd like to say that when someone has taken forever to make my meal at a restaurant, I'll walk up and be like, they'll be like, Michael, your meal's ready. And I'll go up, I have crossed oceans of time to get this macaroni and cheese.
Wow.
You know, this wait has been exactly twice as long as it was supposed to be. Yes.
And then when she shows you a UV light, you hiss?
Naturally.
Okay.
I need to start doing that more, the cross and the hiss. Yeah. Oh, God. I promise you, at dinner, I will do that tonight.
Awesome. This is going to be great.
All right. All right, here we go. Let's go to the natural next step, Barbara in Connecticut.
Hey, guys.
Hello. How are you, Barbara?
I'm good. I was just busy last week, and I didn't get here.
I understand. Okay. I was busy, too. I didn't show up. If you listen to the replay, you can tell I was phoning it in.
Oh, okay. Did you have your double?
Yes, yeah. I had a cardboard cut out of myself, and oddly, JT liked it better. It was weird, but the cardboard cut out of me was a stand-in last week.
He fell a little
flat.
Yeah,
we all have those moments.
Yes, yes, we do. Yes.
What did you say, Christine?
I said he fell a little flat. Hey,
I wish I had a drum set in here.
I'm allowed to get my one dork in.
It's not a dork. Like that's a pun. Okay. No, all right.
Dork.
All right. So, Barbara, I'll let you have the stage, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. This is from week 12 in the Garden of Poetry and Prose. And our prompts were umbrella and anvil. And so here is my poem using those words. Finding no solace in spring. On a day you passed from my life, there was no umbrella to shield me from the pain that rained down upon me, as if all the sorrows of the world had visited me and given me their salutations of sadness. It was like no other day I had spent, for I had forgotten the time before you came into my life, and I was a lone person without your presence in my life. Your loss was physical, as if I were entwisting the long rope of our relationship until it was only me and not me and you. Placed on the anvil of despair, I search for a way to continue without you, as the unentwining of our lives continued slowly and steadily, as each day I divested my life of one more piece of you. Striving to retrieve my memories of our long past, each day brought a new spark of loss as experiences continued to occur without you and places and people we enjoyed together slid by in rapid succession, some bringing sorrow and some exquisite joy. Tears and laughter mixed as I recounted our days to find a way to live without you, the well of sadness inside my soul, overflowing each day as the pain slipped out and spilled into my eyes. Trying not to dwell on the sadness for your sake, you told me not to mourn for you, as if that would ever be a truth for me. I have tried to find my own life, untwisting the skeins of our shared experiences and finding a way to enjoy some of them even without you. But always your shadow is there when I listen to a favorite singer or watch a favorite actor. Even when I read words, you spoke many times. Your presence is surrounding me with an umbrella of love, reminding me that you always had my back and that now I must shoulder the burden alone and face the unfaceable without you, knowing that you are rooting me on, telling me you are there, and I feel your arms around me in the dark. But without you, the world has lost some of its hue. Spring bursts with its verdant splendor, and I see the flowers blooming with all their hearts, beckoning to me and telling me that I should shuck my sorrow and bury myself in the glory of the season. But you are not here, and memories are a poor substitute for substance. End poem.
And that was Barbara with a very powerful and deep read there. Barbara, thank you for sharing that. I know that was kind of a very intensely personal one.
That was, it started out, I thought, as going to be, you know, something that was going to be objective and easy to write. And by the end, you can see that I got a little choked.
I understand. I mean, that's not, Well, first of all, that's how you know you write something that's affecting you, which is kind of what we're asked to do as artists, right?
Well, yeah, because if it doesn't affect me, I can't write.
Right.
You know, that's the whole thing about me. I can't just sit down and write something that I can't feel anything about. Even if it's a very objective thing, I have to feel something about it, or, you know, it just gets lost. It doesn't have any meaning for me, and I can't really write it, you know.
Sure,
like, This stuff is painful, but it's not painful as it gets written, you know. It's like it comes out and you say, oh, my God, did I actually write this, you know? And so, yeah, it's painful in that way, but when you're writing it, it's more like a catharsis. It's like I'm getting it out. I'm saying what I feel, and it's out there. And then somehow or other, once it's out there, it's not as personal as when it was inside. And so it can be looked at objectively, and people can get some kind of meaning from it for themselves. So I didn't used to feel that way about very private things, but I really think that this is what happens when you get really private and you take out your innermost feelings, and it all comes out, and then people get some kind of meaning from it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. We're happy to have you back. You have not
Thank
found
you.
You have not found any more bodies in a dumpster near your place, right?
No, that was my friend who wrote about that.
But there was another one? Where were you last Friday, Barbara?
Where was I last Friday?
You were busy. In quotation marks.
Busy, no, yes. No, no. I was busy.
All right. Barbara, will you...
even remember last Friday. That's how busy I was.
Oh, she was busy.
Yes.
With some schnapps.
It was a really busy week.
I understand.
Yes. Okay. Well,
right.
I'm glad you're back all whole, Michael. And glad I came on the night that you were whole. I'm going to get off and let the other person...
Oh, Barbara, we'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully. Okay, thank you.
Okay, yes. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara in Connecticut. Give me a call, sharing something really intensely personal.
Yep.
I mean, it was really intense. All right, let's go to someone who I think never fails to be personal and kind of intense, whether she's doing her work or someone else's work. Let's go to Mary in Arizona.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I can imagine. There's a huge
100 degrees, yo.
Oh.
I went in the pool today.
Right now?
That would be awesome.
About an hour ago.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I think supervillains call from the pool, right? Well, that's a...
Yeah, I would. You know, maybe in a month or so. I'm not going to rule it out.
You might go full-on Cobra Commander here in about a month if you with this much heat.
You know, I become a mermaid in the water. I'll have you know. So everyone beware of that. Onward, yo, today.
I become
I'm
a merman.
On land again.
Oh, you're on land. That's
I
good.
I swear I'm on land.
I defend my land, even though it looks like my friend's apartment.
I defend. Yeah. It's a desert land, but I defend it nevertheless.
I claimed my neighbor's backyard in the name of Spain the other day, and it didn't go over very well. Anyway, all right,
okay.
So.
Tonight is nothing by myself because I've not yet gotten anything to that point, but I'm not on to this. Her name was Elizabeth Baird Browning. She wrote the sonnets in 1845 and 46. She published them in 1850. She didn't even want to publish them. She thought they were too personal. Her husband, according to this folklore that I'm reading here, insisted that they were the best sequence of English language sonnets since Shakespeare's time, urged her to publish them, and I'm reading you number 33. Yes, call me by my pet name. Let me hear the name I used to run at when a child from innocent play.
and leave the cowslips piled, to glance up in some face that proved me dear with the look of its eyes. I miss the clear, fond voices which, being drawn and reconciled into the music of heavens undefiled, call me no longer. Silence on the bier. While I call God, so let thy mouth be hair to those who are now exanimate. Gather the north flowers to complete the south, and catch the early love up in the late. Yes, call me by that name, and I in truth, with the same heart, will answer and not wait. End poem. Isn't that so lovely? Come on, that's poetry.
That was lovely. Thank you, Mary. That was really, really lovely, and I appreciate you sharing that.
I didn't write it, but, you know, I'm just a token in this little theater, and you guys are all so lovely that actually put these words to lines and write them with your own naked fingers, all crusty and everything. God bless you all.
Bless you, though, Mary. Thank you.
I didn't even sneeze, but I might call back. We'll see.
That's a preemptive bless you. You can sneeze. Just don't do it when meatballs are around. It. All kinds of problems happen.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary. On top of spaghetti.
Yes.
That song, I didn't realize how awesome that song really was until recently. This is how you know I hang around kids too much. Okay, let's go to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to continue.
No, I was going to say, someone who when he talks, feels like, in the best way possible, a 1950s era father to me. And I just know him through his voice calling on the show. Not that he's old enough to be my father. That's not what I mean. I just mean that there is a certain quality there. I feel like I could receive nuclear age advice from Stan in Alabama. Stan, are you there?
You gave this wonderful
wow.
talk.
I am so sorry. It looks like we had a phone issue.
Do we have a phone issue?
Yeah.
Man, with Skype again?
No. Okay.
So, Stan, hang up. Give us a call right back. We'll put you on.
Sorry.
And, Philip, that might end up being the same thing with you, too, by the way.
We'll see.
So, we'll see if Stan's giving us a call. So, I got to tell you. This week, I've been thinking about stuff.
Like what?
I've been thinking about what would happen if I put on, like, 60 pounds of muscle. How would my life change? My feet.
Feet.
And my cornea.
Okay, well, you don't have muscle on your cornea.
Thus the workouts I have planned.
Your eyeballs would literally fall out of your head.
Yeah, but they'd be buff.
They'd also dry out a lot.
Wait. Your cornea's working out? What did I miss?
Not independently. You do it yourself, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, Stan's calling.
All right, let's answer it. Everybody be cool. Hey, Stan, you're live on the air.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Stan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I thought it was twice in a row.
Sorry about it. I still have no idea what's going on, and we don't have any rhyme or reason to it. So I appreciate you being a good sport.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's causing it, but it happens.
I guess so, huh? So how's everything going this week?
Well, it's pretty good so far.
Well, good. Good.
It's been a pretty quiet week, actually. Kind of glad for it.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm happy to hear that. So I'm going to let you take the stage. We'll talk about it after, as always.
Well, that sounds good to me.
All right.
Hold on one moment. Okay. Please hurry up. This happens every time.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling, Stan.
Okay. Okay. This is a real simple piece. Let's see here. There we go. And it just is, it's titled End, Beginning, Repeat. End, Begin, Repeat. From nothing to nothing. Time only exists to measure what exists. end, begin, repeat. Sunrise and sunset. Light back to night. Together mark one day. End, begin, repeat. Death begetting life. And death's return to dust, room and substance for life. End, begin, repeat. Light to night to light. Life from death to life. From time to nothing. One constant truth. End, begin, repeat. End of poem.
I really like that one.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, that's, yeah. I like the theme of it. I like the whole thing.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. What do you think, JT?
I enjoyed
that.
Yeah,
I could tell you like that one. Yeah.
Very nice. Very well delivered, too.
Well, I think, well, there's that. I think one of the things that I started enjoying, and I come from kind of a songwriting background, Stan, so what I really enjoy is when there's a clear idea that I hadn't really considered before that's been executed, it almost feels like with inevitability. You know, when the words feel inevitable, like, of course that line would be in there. You know, that's how you know it's been constructed well. And I felt like that with that piece.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Stan, thanks so much. Are you going to be giving us a call during the return engagement, you think?
No, I don't think tonight I will. I think tonight I'm actually going to go to bed.
At the end of a peaceful week.
I need to catch up on some sleep.
Hey, no, totally understood. Totally understood. Yep. So we'll look forward to hopefully hearing from you next week. And if this is the only one you read tonight, it's been a great showing. So thanks so much.
Yes, and thanks to everybody out there who's listening now and everybody that's read up to this point, because it's been great.
Hey, wonderful. We're so happy to have you. Thanks, Stan.
Thank you all. Good night.
Good night. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, quickly becoming one of my favorites on this show.
Alabama or is that, Stan?
No, Stan, not Alabama.
I was just, because you said Stan from Alabama, and then you didn't quantify what you were talking about.
So it's Alabama.
I thought he was supposed to leave that in Studio X.
I'm trying to write state theme songs.
You know, that is an incredible project that you should probably take on, but not right
but
now.
But the problem is, you know, I have all these great ideas. For instance, like Connecticut.
Of course.
And that's it. That's the whole theme song right there.
Well, you know, it's beautiful.
Or Kentucky, home of the enamel-footed bathtub. See?
Yeah.
They're all in minor. That's a problem. I don't think they're ever going to pay for it.
Okay.
No.
All right. Hey, let's go to Philip in Kentucky, home of the enamel-footed bathtub.
Are we agreeing on this one this week?
I think we're agreeing on this one.
Oh, okay.
I hope. Are we agreeing on this one?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm agreeing. I'm always agreeing.
Okay.
Sir. That's why, you know, everybody hates my politics. I agreed with all of you. It's not my fault you're arguing with each other. I agreed with you.
What was it? What was the best line? I don't even remember what it is, but there was some argument, and the third guy was out, and they said, the two guys who were arguing look at him and go, what do you think? And he goes, well, I agree with you fellers.
that's really precious, and I the way I know that one is out of Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
That's where it is. You got it.
Thank you.
Right.
That's it.
The Coen brothers, they're always great for humor. Yeah. That's hilarious. I think that's my take on politics, actually. First of all, well, that's even a whole other tangent we don't need to go into. Because first of all, I don't even know what the terms are anymore. I think it's that out of control. I don't think anybody even knows what the hell they're talking about. And, I just dread what may be coming tomorrow. Who knows? So enough of that blithity blather.
Now that the apocalypse is coming, we're doing well.
Yeah, right. You know, let's have a picnic.
Yeah,
woohoo! Kind of right. Like those early Civil War kind of people, you know, they thought it would be fun to go have a picnic out there and watch or something. I don't know if it's a Civil War, but I know there's one of the
No, that was a Civil War
in America where they actually went out and sat on the grass and watched and drank lemonade. I don't know if that's true.
I heard that was true. And wasn't it that they thought they were going to go out and watch the Union demolish the Confederate Army, and that it became a complete
like that,
routing,
right?
So they ended up running away going, oh no, they're coming towards us.
Right, these are actual, you know, yeah, bullets that will cause harm if they do hit you, which is, you know, probably just sheer chance at that time, but still, you know.
You know, but here's one thing that I heard recently, and this is super morbid, guys. I'll say this quickly.
Oh, boy.
This is real. So this was a really interesting piece of trivia that during Genghis Khan's reign, the Mongols killed enough people to affect the carbon footprint of the planet.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
That is wild, but help me understand, affected in what manner?
You can actually, I think the amount
of... It was a benefit?
I think it actually was very positive for the environment. No, they were saying some insane amount, but there were some accounts of the Chinese going to see what happened after this, you know, the invasion, and they were finding their wagons getting stuck on the road in what they thought was mud, but it wasn't mud. And then they saw, it was bodies.
Bodies, yeah,
and,
blood, bodies.
And then there was what they thought was a snow-covered mountain ended up being a 400, 500-foot tall mountain of bone.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that gives me some perspective on things right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, it always makes me think again, and nobody laughs after I say it, but it reminds me of the Woody Allen joke. 6 million dead, that's a record made to be broken. You know, how do you respond to this kind of insanity? There are no rational responses. The fact that it even happens is just beyond me. But anyhow, I came here for poetry, man.
That's right.
Okay? I want to see if you guys are, you know, down. And can dig it.
We can dig it.
Let's do some poetry instead of this political stuff.
Yeah. But see, the thing I love about you and I are talking politics and we go super dark, super fast.
No, it didn't take long.
Mountains of bones and Holocaust humor from Woody Allen. Oh my gosh.
Wait, what is your favorite line?
I don't know.
Yeah, that is a pretty good one. I like that line.
Stop it. No, it's from Conan.
Conan.
Conan?
I don't know if this is the place to do this.
Oh, I don't know it.
I can't always say it.
Okay, married couple, this is not the place to do this.
Sorry. Sorry, hon.
I feel like I'm in a group, you know, talk here. Can I just, like, maybe that's, never mind, I'm going out on a tangent. I'm like, we can start paying for a service where you get to pay, like, to listen into other people's conversations. I guarantee you it would sell. You know, will you subscribe to the service? You know, you might get a little taken off of your charges to agree to let other people listen into your conversations. It would be, why do we need spies? We're all so curious about each other's.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. It's just been systemized in the spies case. Okay, I'm going to give you the floor, Philip. We'll talk after.
I'm so easily distracted.
Oh, me too.
All right. Fortunately, I've got a short one with maybe an appropriate title. Birds migrating back to Mercury. And here we go. Birds migrating back to Mercury. Feet upon brown, brittle autumn leaves, meters seeking poignant phrases, or if none, then their parallel antithesis for my opposite self summarized as the I am that I am not. Bare souls wounded by weathered stone, perched a mystical gaze of avian imitation. The fierce angels whose luminous swords sever nebulous untruth from my songs about sincere attempts at benevolence when I am only a ravenous predator. Let my savage teeth gnaw upon silence gravely envied, this feast of absences. And there it goes. There you go, my friend.
Very nice, Philip. We missed you on the show, man. I'm glad you're back.
Well, thank you, Michael. I miss you too. And sometimes I'm just horrible company, and I just give myself a timeout, sir.
It's understood. You know.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, sir. Thank you so much. You guys made me smile, and I look forward to the return engagement.
Wonderful. Thank you.
We'll see you then.
Cheers.
Cheers, Philip. Thank you. And that was Philip calling all the way from Kentucky. I've also heard they have some good chicken. What do you think?
Yeah. wonderful spices. And
wonderful, yes. Wonderful spices in Kentucky.
Oh, my Lord.
At least the blend or mixture of them.
Yeah.
Which they released.
Did they finally release
it? Yeah.
Well, man, because I was going to suggest that's what we could do tonight. We could break into a KFC and find out their recipe.
Well, we could still do that, but no. Or we could just do Google.
Well, if it's on
and
Google,
the
then I don't really care
oh,
anymore.
Oh, okay.
No B&E.
No B&E? No.
Maybe all we really want to do is just kick in a door.
Well, it's just C&R, Cannonball Recipe. Just shoot me in through the window and I'll...
All right.
No, you will just get a door. The two of you can just kick it into your little heart's desire, and then we'll go someplace else for dinner.
How cool. No, see, kicking in a door, you know, that's all very, it's good, but it's a little pedestrian. What I like is the idea of a break-in being, unroll, grab the recipe, and then just step out and walk away. See? But no one expects you to be shot through at 50 miles an hour.
That's true. You might want a helmet.
Well, of course I'll wear a helmet.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Oh, good God.
Color, paint myself blue in reference to my Scottish ancestors.
As he flies through the air. Freedom!
It's like a blue cannonball. Look at that.
Wallace! that guy's pretending to be Scottish. Okay.
Hey,
would you like me to tease this poet of the month?
I would love for you to tease the poet
of the month. Okay. I have your cheese. Okay.
Oh, this is really fast, guys. Well done.
I'm loopy. Okay.
Couldn't tell.
Really? Well, let me show you. No, okay. So every week up leading up to the third week of every month, we tease who the poet of the month is, and then we with some clues, and then we reveal it. The three from last week. This is last week's clues. Number one, Final Hours of Chekhov. Number two, Wedded to Tess. Number three, Stopped the Bottle in 77. This is this week's three clues. One, Water Comes Together. Two, Inspired You Too. And three, In the Lungs Spelled the End. See if you can get it. Send us a message if you think it's right.
I just figured out Michael's clues. I just figured out Michael's clues.
You just figured out Michael's clues. Because the name of the poet's right on top of my questions. We need five more unique callers. 720-240-9766.
That is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic. Christine.
Yes, Michael.
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
Mmm, that's nice.
You know, I'm oddly proud of that one. I don't know why.
I think it was because we didn't plan that one at all.
No.
I just responded.
Yes.
Pure poultry.
And it threw you off ever so slightly.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic,
but
though.
But it was a great response.
I think, yeah, so I think I should just start in that voice asking you other questions.
Like, seeing if I can respond properly.
Yes, like, what is it? Christine, what do you get when you have 10,000 gallons of peanut butter and a bunch of water buffalo?
A bunch of liquors?
That usually precedes that. Absolutely, yeah, fair enough. All right.
Wow.
By the way, that was a legitimate excuse I gave in seventh grade for being late one day.
Being a liquor?
No, that didn't occur to me.
You were stuck in 10,000.
No, I said, I'm not going to really go into details, but it has a lot to do with a bunch of water buffalo and 10,000 gallons of peanut butter.
Awesome.
And they're like, you have an excuse. That's amazing. Here you go. So.
Okay.
Okay. All right. There you go. Okay. So. We only had one caller that segment,
all
guys, with a Z. Although the one caller is definitely enough to hold it down. I think he's great. He's such a long-time friend of the show. And it's funny not having him in the first segment. We're happy he's here. Let's go to Dennis in
Michigan.
Let me try this again.
Okay.
Dennis in Michigan.
Okay.
Yes, this is Michigan.
Man.
It's Millie Mishimashkana.
No, that's somewhere else. All right. Hello. How are you doing, Dennis?
It's Friday night.
Apparently
Where are
so.
All the poets?
I don't know. You know, we're talking about that. We're going to have to figure out what's going on. We might have to go out and get them.
going to have this recruiting.
Yep.
And I'll step up my game and see if I can get two extra to come next week.
I appreciate it. You know, we'd ask everybody who's listening and can hear this if you can attempt to do that as well, and we'll kind of put some stuff into overdrive also.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a plan.
All right. Sounds good. So I'll give you the floor, and then we'll talk after. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right.
Well, we haven't heard from our friend Raj Kumar recently. And I'd been thinking about him and hoping he's all right. And I pulled out his book, Soul Searching, and I thought I'd pull one of his poems out and read it. So this is a poem by Raj Kumar. The title is I Wish If. And it starts like this. If I were a sculptor, I would have chiseled your beauty with sharp features on stone, like Michelangelo, and placed it at city center to be adored by one and all. If I were an artist, I would have painted your face on canvas like Picasso that holds the inviting eyes. Smile, luscious lips, and sharp nose that exudes pride and passion. If I were a musician, I would have created a symphony like Beethoven to overflow in the ether and traverse all barriers of nations to fill the hearts and souls of listeners. But I am a poor poet who hides dreams within his heart, attuned to soul and depict a frame to hold your picture never seen by others, fragile as a mirror, dewdrops on lotus petals. I wish I could have held an imagery, all the emotions, amorous erotica, that surfaced in my dreams and yours, in captivating words and metaphors, and adore you with a garland of roses. But alas, I am no Pablo Neruda, unable to write for you 20 love poems and a song of despair to win your heart and soul now and forever. End of poem.
Wow. It's a strong piece that he, you know, Raj is such a strong poet, but I have to say I love your reads of his work as well.
Well, he has a lot of good stuff there. There's some places that are a little bit rough for me, but I understand where he's coming from and what he's saying, and it's easy to relate to.
Sure.
His poetry is universal, and I do appreciate it, and I appreciate him, and I hope we will be hearing from him again soon.
Yeah, as do I. That was lovely. And really quick, before we let you go, how's everything else going for you, Dennis? How's life?
Life is pretty good. I'm on the countdown now. I get 20 days to retirement.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's all good.
Are you feeling pretty good about that one?
Well, I got mixed emotions about it because it's going to be quite a transition, but it's the thing to do. It's the time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a new adventure.
Well, hey, you know, we wish you all the best, and we'll be here for you as much as we can, okay?
And you always have been, and I sure do appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Oh, thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. And that was Dennis calling all the way from Michigan.
You're not going to let him say goodbye?
Oh, Dennis, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. You were doing a fine job. I was going to step aside and let the next poet step up, but there is no next poet behind me until we get to the next segment. So I'll just say God bless you all. Thank you so much.
God bless Dennis. Man, what would I, JT, what would I do without you tonight? And I mean that seriously. I'm not being sarcastic.
Man. No. Sit down. You don't get to find out how he'd do without you tonight.
Yeah, see, that's not a, it's, it's a rhetorical.
It wasn't a challenge.
It's a rhetorical question, man.
Rhetorical?
It's like it's got some torque to it.
My brain just said that's not the right word. I don't know why.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
But you know, what are we, JT? What are we gonna do?
I don't know, Michael. What are we gonna do?
I think we should put three turkeys in a bath. No, I think. no, you know what? Let's pack this in here. I think we should go to. I know you've been working hard to repair Studio X.
Yes.
Do we want to try it?
Let's give it a shot.
All right, here we go. We're gonna try to teleport there.
Okay.
Give us just a moment here.
Okay. One, two.
Hold on. Okay. Don't pull that.
Okay. Okay. And three.
Hello. We're here. Oh yeah.
I know it's a little queasy first time. You get used to it. It's okay.
It's okay. Just sit. That smell. That's the ghost of memories passed from the show.
Yes. You want to try?
Big red button.
Don't push the big red buttons.
All right.
That was a weird test.
There we go.
Mayonnaise. Sorry. That sounds real good.
Okay, never mind. I'm done. It's hard to play. I just put one finger on the. All right, here we go. So this, I'm going to say who wrote this song after we're done.
Okay.
I'm going to do a couple tonight. And this one was, I kind of have a fondness for the really old, kind of like the older country stuff, the Johnny Cash, Hank Williams stuff. I think that's some great songwriting. And this one is not one of theirs, but it has that kind of feel to it, and I really like it. When the lights go down in the city, getting real low, settling in my room, I'm a notice. When the steel comes in through my window, letting me go, I feel the calm come over me on the floor, on the floor, where the rats all come away clean, yeah, on the floor. Where the children all stomped and screamed straight out the door. Well, I find myself on my knees, begging please. When the lights go down in the city, everyone goes to their room, walking the trail to dreamland. When the lights go down in the city, something is roaring. I find myself waiting to believe on the floor. Where the mice call shots in the corner, that's where I'll be. When the crickets come home and sing their symphony. Well, I find myself on my knees, begging please, on the floor. Facing things I've done here on the floor. Where the years have gathered and run, that's where I'll be. And I find myself on my knees, begging please. Begging please. On the floor. All right, so that one was that was from Brandon Flowers in an album called Flamingo, which is a deceptively kind of deep album. It's called On the Floor. And it's a good. I thought it was a pretty good one.
It was really nice. Was good nice job. One. I liked it.
Well, thanks. Now this next one, I really like too, but I've never played it. Which is kind of what Studio X is. You know, it's kind of a challenge in that way. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
Every breaking wave on the shore says the next one, there'll be one more. And every gambler knows that to lose is what you're really there for. Summer, I was fearless. Now I'm speaking to an answer phone, like every fallen leaf on the breeze. Winter wouldn't leave it alone. If you go your way and I go mine, are we so helpless against the tide? Baby, every dog on the street knows that we're in love with defeat. Are you ready to get swept off our feet and stop chasing every breaking wave? Every sailor knows that the sea is a friend made enemy. And every shipwrecked soul knows what it is to live without intimacy. I thought I heard the captain's voice. It's hard to listen while you preach, like every broken wave on the shore. This is as far as I can reach. If you go your way and I go mine, are we so helpless against the tide? Baby, every dog on the street knows that we're in love with defeat. Are we ready to get swept off our feet and stop chasing every breaking wave? Every breaking wave. Every breaking wave. And that was Every Breaking Wave from U2. So we're done with Studio X. JT, should we quickly jump back over and then be able to do the call-in segment for return engagement?
Yeah.
Q. Can I walk?
No, sorry. We got
to. You're just
gonna
have to roll in there. Sorry. Okay. Just a
deep breath. Okay.
Just pull a blueberry and roll.
You ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Breathe in. Or not. Hang on. Sorry.
Hit the button. I haven't breathed out yet.
Whew. All right. Hey, everybody, let's do a return engagement. Everybody can call back. Let's do this. Don't throw up. That's my guitar. Don't throw up in there, please.
Give me your hat.
No hats or guitars. Okay. Give us a call. Anybody who wants to call and share, 720-240-9766.
720-240-9766.
Our Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back.
In the saddle again.
And we're back in the saddle again.
Oh, wow. I was going to a whole nother.
Yeah.
Out where a friend is a friend. Yeah.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Yeah.
Well, it's
poetry's
us.
Back.
Hey, you know who did that one?
Tell a friend.
You know who did the combo thing about that with that song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I was totally thinking of a different song. I'm sorry. You, Aerosmith did Back in the Saddle, didn't they?
Did they?
I think they did. We'll have to look it up. Anyway, whatever. We don't need to get into that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, that one.
You know, I just
did you
have
do
to
the
make
Steven Tyler
like
scream
it.
And be like, oh, yeah, that one? You know, the one where he's like, wow. All right. And Joe Perry's like, meow. All right.
Meow.
So,
just like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. All right. So we are back for the return engagement on an incredibly quiet Friday night.
And I'm just going to say this. I'm sorry about Skype tonight, guys.
Skype.
I am still working on trying to get the show to play while you guys are on hold. That is a very tricky, tricky thing to do.
Tricky.
Second, Skype updated today.
But we don't. Okay,
and
okay.
Wanted me to log into a different version of it. Mm. And I kindly declined so
you
far.
You neglected, but then that's where we screwed the pooch on the message.
Maybe.
Okay.
So
we're figuring this out, guys. We're figuring
so
out.
So I apologize, but thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Don't panic if you don't get a message from us.
Yeah.
Trust me.
It's mostly harmless.
We're here.
It's perfectly. So, yes. Okay.
Mostly harmless.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so we're back. Return engagement. We have some great poets lined up. We're going to go straight into it. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, it feels like forever since you've been on the show, Dennis.
Vujade.
Yes. Yes, but I'm first in two different tries, so this is good.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Well, Jim reminded us that it is Mother's Day this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add to that theme, and I'm going to stay in Raj Kumar's book, Soul Searching, and the poem I would like to read, the title is Tribute to a Great Soul, Mother Poet Maya Angelou. And it starts like this. Through your eyes, we visualized our freedom. In your words, we found consonants of our cherished dreams. In your memoirs, our childhood brightened, memorist, poet, promises of youth, cemented with determination and grit. You had been so close to our heart. We could never differentiate your dreams with ours. Your absence, Mother Poet, has created a vacuum that can never be filled by any. We take new oath today to follow your path, fight for our rights, sympathize with suffering masses, carry them towards your mission of life. End of poem.
Very, very nice.
What did you think? That was a beautiful piece.
Yay, mommies.
Yes. You know, Christine, I think you're the only one in this room that could say that and not have people go, ew.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah. But true, true, I think.
Well, that was a stretch for a Mother's Day poem, perhaps.
I thought it was good.
It still was close enough. I'm going to call on poetic license and let it go. Let it stand.
You might as well.
Works
you might
for
as well,
us.
Dennis. That's great.
Well, but that was another poem by Raj Kumar, our poet friend from Calcutta, India.
That's
and,
right.
We miss him, and we hope to have him back soon.
Sounds great. And we do miss him, and we really appreciate you reading, and his work is definitely welcome here tonight. So thank you.
Well, thank you so very much. And I know we have other poets behind me this time, so I'm going to step aside and say God bless. And thank you all so very much for allowing us to share this platform. It means so much to all of us. So thank you.
You're quite welcome, my friend. Thank you. All right. Now, you want to hear something? This is my humor. Sometimes I don't think fits being a Catholic school teacher.
Sometimes? This, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He said it.
Most of the time.
Okay, that's better.
But today, so I'm walking down the hallway, principal, you know, some of the higher level people, mm-hmm. kind of at the, you know, we're walking down the hallway, and the cleaning crew is there because it was an in-service day, and one of them has a vacuum. I look down it, and it's a dirt devil. And I look at it, and I go, that's funny. And no one and everybody looked down, and no one got it.
Well, of course not.
And I'm like, well, at least they didn't get it, because if they got it, I'd even be able to, but they didn't think it was funny, I would be a little bit more creeped out. But I just thought, you know, this is, or maybe this is a good thing to be in a Catholic. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Or they would have just looked at you and went, Father blessed it. It's okay.
It's a holy vacuum.
It's
I'm
a
like,
holy vacuum.
I'm like, of course. How do things get in it?
Right.
It's not. You
it's got to have.
You know. Yeah.
Let's just keep going.
Oh, okay.
So I should go into a whole thing about
no.
why donuts are the preferred
no.
thing after mass.
Right.
No.
Incredibly holy. Okay. All right.
And if you push them down the aisle,
holy rollers.
Yeah. Let's go to the holiest state in the Union, Pennsylvania. And speak to Jim.
So, on that note, I had an incident when I was at working at Friendly's.
Okay.
I was closing one night, and I told the one server that the shop vac really sucks, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
He argued the point with me.
He goes, the suction's not enough, man. It's just not enough. Well... JT.
It doesn't suck.
JT's sitting here laughing. He's just laughing. I'm trying to get him involved in this.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, you have nothing
no.
to say?
No.
Okay.
How can you not get what I just said? That she argued the point with me if the shop back really sucked, it was a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing.
That just amazed me.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, yeah, that woman.
Well, I got to say. You know, Jim, there's sometimes people, when they half engage in a conversation, can say some really funny stuff. And I think one of my favorite examples of this was a good friend of mine told me this story. His grandmother had just passed away, and he was about ready to go to California. And he was talking to one of his coworkers, and he goes, well, I'm getting ready to leave for California tomorrow. And she says, oh, are you going for business or pleasure? And he could tell she was tuning out. And he goes, well, actually, neither. My grandmother passed away. We're going for her funeral. And he could tell his coworker just wasn't paying attention. She goes, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. And,
wow.
And my friend just starts laughing because he knew she didn't mean it that way, you know, but that's a great example of people just tuning out of a conversation.
Huh?
Oh.
I didn't know we needed a drummer to do all these rim shots now that Christine's on the air. Anyway, Jim, I'm going to give you the stage and let you read, okay?
All right. Still going on the subject of my mother, we talked about my first time I called. So this is one I wrote about a month after she passed away. The world has changed. Silent wailing, the banshee passed unheard with the waning of the moon. for the world has changed. Ripped from this mortal coil, a dear one passes through the veil to the eternal side of time, for the world has changed. Standing alone, together, graveside companions face the waxing of the sun, for the world has changed. End of poem.
Wow. That's just a... and knowing the story that you shared with us, I mean, that's a very, very... there's so much depth in that, you know, and a lot of pain. I can feel it.
Well, some would think I'm a little morbid because it took me a few years to actually joke about it.
Okay.
That at work, I'll tell people, I say, yeah, it's ever since she died, we haven't been on speaking terms.
You know what? I think gallows humor is the best stuff. You know, that's the real comedy, I think, right there. It helps us deal with things. And you know, I constantly crack jokes about how I would actually do this at a funeral for a family member. I'm standing there and someone comes up, "I'm sorry," and I go, "It was expected. Death runs in the family." It's the same,
okay,
you know. It's the
that
same.
Sounds like what I would do.
Exactly right. So, if you need dad jokes at a funeral, call me. I'm not even a dad. I'll just do it. All right. Hey Jim, thank you so much.
You too.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. No. Are these kind of in the same order they were in a way? Well,
you know,
there's a few things mixed up, but not really all that different.
Just a few. So Stan was, never mind.
Yeah,
no,
remember.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm totally off. Ignore me.
Okay. Well, let's go to Arizona, and let's go to Mary, who's the patron saint of heat at the moment. Mary, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
We're at the return engagement, and here I am, and here you are, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how this works, and it's a good thing.
Okay. The tank landed, the thing opens, the guy with the ears is there, and here we are.
Yeah, the guy with the ears. Noah.
Yeah, he was so bright. You know, anything that guy told me, I would have done. That's a problem. You follow.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If I was told to build an ark, I don't think a big boat would have been the first thing I thought of. You know, I would have tried to build some sort of other ark.
That woman and all those people, they were scared of those aliens. I wanted to listen to Spock, man. He at least knew what the hell was going on.
You know, that's true. That's true. You know, Spock. Yeah. Spock seemed to have a clue. I think it had to do with the eyebrows. I think the ears were kind of an overstatement.
Oh yeah, those eyebrows. Do not underestimate those eyebrows.
In fact, I think that's the speech Leonard Nimoy gave the casting people at Star Trek. Do not underestimate my eyebrows and their effect on the American public.
You know, the Egyptians, you can get the unibrow. It goes all the way the hell across. Don't tell me you don't get scared of that when they start looking at it and they make it like an owl.
You know, Mary, I have a dream that we can get one unibrow to travel all the way around the world, uniting humanity.
That's it. That's it. That's what we need. We need a united unibrow.
A uni-unibrow.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, my God. We're going downhill fast.
Okay, I'm just going to shut up and let you do it, Mary.
All right. I'm doing another poem by someone else because I'm not a poet. And all you people just really so lovely are. This one is by, if I pronounce her name wrong, I apologize. It's Rupi Kaur. She's a Canadian poet. Her mother was Indian, so it's Rupi Kaur. She's still living. I don't know her age, but this is one that I really liked of her. It really helps to see it because her cadences are, she has run-on words and two words together without any space, so it helps, but I'm going to read it the best I can. When you are broken and he has left you, do not question whether you were enough. The problem was you were so enough he was not able to carry it. I had to leave. I was tired of allowing you to make me feel anything less than whole. I was music, but you had your ears cut off. I am a museum full of art, but you had your eyes shut.
you are in the habit of co-depending on people to make up for what you think you lack, who tricked you into believing another person was meant to complete you when the most they can do is compliment. If you were born with the weakness to fall, you were born with the strength to rise. It takes grace to remain kind in cruel situations. You tell me I am not like most girls and learn to kiss me with your eyes closed, something about the phrase, something about how I have to unlike the women I call sisters in order to be wanted, makes me want to spit your tongue out like I am supposed to be proud you picked me, as I should be relieved you think I am better than them. The next time he points out the hair on your legs is growing back, remind that boy your body is not his home. He is a guest. Warn him never to outstep his welcome again. Accept yourself as you were designed. You were a dragon long before he came around and said you could fly. You will remain a dragon long after he's left. I want to apologize to all the women I have called pretty before I called them intelligent or brave. I'm sorry I made it sound as though something as simple as what you're born with is the most you have to be proud of. When your spirit has crushed mountains, from now on I will say things like you are resilient or you are extraordinary. No, because I don't think you're pretty, but because you are so much more than that. Don't mistake salt for sugar. If he wants to be with you, he will. It's that simple. I didn't leave because I stopped loving you. I left because the longer I stayed, the less I loved myself. X takes the consent of two. If one person is lying, they're not doing anything because they're not ready or not in the mood or simply don't want to yet. The other is having sex with the body. It is rape. The rape will tear you in half, but it will not end you. End poem.
I really like that one. Christine, what are your thoughts on that? On that piece?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got it.
You know, she has all small letters and the run-on words. I think it is really a treat to read it and to look at it.
Oh.
And some poems are like that. I can't say.
Well, and that's actually a feat, though, because some of them really aren't interesting to look at. But I really liked your read. I think for me, and maybe this is something I could post to the women on the show and Christine to you as well. I have students who are in middle school, and they're just around the time that puberty is starting to kick in, and you can see.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see these girls who are starting to develop that strange little affectation of personality where they act ditzy and worth nothing except being the cute girl in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to answer tonight, but I just wanted to kind of throw this out. Is there anything that a guy like me can say to them to get them to kind of question that and to think about it a little bit? Because it's really disparaging to see. And it's not about me. It's just I want them to consider it.
I could think of all kind of adages to say or to give them. They're going to take it or not.
Right.
And I'm one who likes to talk, so maybe I talk too much. Maybe just to put my arm around, just to look at, just to say how you doing, just to listen to them. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna see what I can do. I mean, I try to do that already, but a lot of times I'm seeing girls will just sit there. They won't do anything. All they do is just
sit.
Yeah, they're
not
sit.
Ready. You know, when you're ready, you're ready. When you're not, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And if you come up with anything brilliant, let me know, please.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
If I come up with brilliant, the whole world's gonna know.
Hey, wonderful, wonderful. And we'll help that. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. I'll go on to the next one. Bye.
All right. We'll talk to you later. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, which I'm sure is a lot warmer than it is here. But we're not all that far away, really.
In mileage or in heat?
Mileage.
Okay.
Heat, yes. Mileage, no.
I was gonna say, we went through all year seasons in like what 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah,
we went from summer to winter to spring, yeah, back to summer.
All four seasons in one day,
except for fall. The only thing we missed because the leaves don't change.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And there's football in the air.
There is.
Da, 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 da.
Dun, 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 dun.
Please just keep going. I'm loving this. All right. Let's go. Let's go to Kentucky. And let's talk to Philip. Hey, Philip, are you there?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, am I coming through?
I think you're coming through clearly. Let me double check something. Yes, you're coming through clearly.
I've got to remember that I'm on the air before I ask you to check something. in the meantime, it's just my oil buddy. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Say no more.
Say no more.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Okay. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Actually, that'd be a good T-shirt, wouldn't it? Just nudge, nudge, wink, wink is what the T-shirt
I think so.
Is.
You know, unfortunately, none of today's youth would probably get it, but, you know. But us old, Michael, there we are. We're aging, my friend.
I know, man.
Right? Like, this is no longer young. It's been out for now, like, almost three decades. I mean,
I got to say this, though. I look at people who are younger, and yeah, they look younger and they have youth, but I also go, you know, I'm so happy that I've actually lived long enough to be able to kind of learn a few little things, maybe, or to know that I don't know things. I'm really happy that I'm not their age anymore.
No, I hear you. You are aging quite well, sir.
I'm trying to age like a fine wine. Sometimes it's like vinegar, but most of the time it's like a fine wine.
And even if you're Mad Dog 2020, I am your sommelier, sir.
How do you know my AOL name? No.
I thought you sounded familiar.
Whoa.
Woohoo! All right. Right, no hands. I don't even know what that means.
Nobody knows what they're talking about, but they're pretty sure it's illegal.
Yeah, pretty
somebody
much.
Get somebody over there now.
Or just
dwell.
Actually, the thing I really like, and Philip, this is why I feel like we all should meet up and hang out sometime, is that we have the ability to make it sound like we're talking about something and actually have it mean nothing at all, but it sounds like it means something. And I think that's a real gift
that we all possess for some reason.
Yeah. It's a cumulative thing. Yeah.
Is it sophisticated New Yorker thing?
Yeah. It's something you could, it's almost like you could write a whole magazine about these kinds of things.
I think you have sufficiently distracted me, my friend.
I'm sorry to do that.
Hey, I'm glad you do it, you know. It keeps me from taking myself so seriously. I mean, like, it is funny. I sound like somewhat like I maybe know what I'm talking about when I read my poetry, which is all a bluff, by the way. But off the page, you know, it's madness, I tell you, truly, you know, so...
We're all mad here.
Yeah, we're all mad.
<That's it. laughs> Thank you, Cheshire. I see why you married her, sir. Good call. All right, enough of this Alice in Wonderland shenanigans. Let's get on with this silliness. All right, here we go. Oh, brother, my titles. Somebody hit me with a sock. While electively imprisoned, some acerbic phrases written for solidarity among the few. And here we go. Icarus bronzed in honeyed sunshine, fallen through an opened window where you ponder migratory flight back toward the origins of all. All those downy pale feathers sullied into blunted plumes once bled by poisonous ink and nicotine fingers, scribbling silence against marred nights, keeping vigil while ill beside the moon, cycling no different than moods. Born an inquisitive foreigner, despite a verbose yet native tongue, they turn hospitality into indifference, consumed with worry solely for their own, unconcerned for those wily vagabonds, burning and unanswerable questions, immolated on pedestals of silence. Poseurs cannot schedule around such things as divine inspiration, tut-tut, unlike, say, tennis or drinks down at the pub. They'll tell you what an insult regarding their Christ, a beatnik poet who rebelled against all that is common and most detestable in every man. Walk in cadence to peripatetic steps with Socrates, encourage inquiries among the curious youth any society regards as their daughters and sons. Little wonder you circle floors littered with their eggshell etiquette. A beast who deserves a yoke about its brazen neck hung from nooses, attached to paragons loftily above in their airy speeches. Nothing to do with trench warfare poetry. Phrase is broken up into shrapnel loud word salad madness, imbued with an imbalance depicted as mental illness. Best drink their offered hemlock in hopes you'll be well tomorrow. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Or should I just say one lady and you two crazy men?
You could say all of that. Really enjoyed that piece. Thank you, Philip. I was sitting here kind of lightly playing guitar in the background and listening to it, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I appreciate that, Michael. I certainly miss you guys. And thank you so much for having me back and sharing the stage with all these other wonderful, talented people. And you sounded really wonderful tonight, Michael. I don't think I could ever sing like that. I mean, I don't think that means a hill of beans, really. But, I mean, when you do sing, I get envious is what I'm saying. I wish I could sing like that. And then I would be kicking women away from me left and right, sir.
Yeah, but, you know, eventually you get arrested for that kind of thing. Especially when you go in and you're like, I can sing, kick, kick, kick. It doesn't work that way. Well. You would be surprised how well that doesn't work.
yeah, right. Well,
no,
you know,
thank you, Philip. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, not a problem. And cheers to you all. Enjoy your meal tonight, whatever it is you do for a celebration. And thank you so much. And until next week, I think, right? Or are we off next week?
Oh, no, we're on.
I know the second we're off.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. I'll be there.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, sir.
Philip, thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky. Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Isn't that shows up in as in Last of the Mohicans also. Winter in Kentucky. They say that.
I can honestly say I've never sat through that whole thing.
Beautiful movie. Beautiful
way too
movie.
Long for me.
See, this is, and you don't like you two. This is why you try to poison me. This is, I can tell.
Oh, no. There's all sorts of other reasons for that.
I was going to say, I think I offended her her senses as a nurse. She goes, no, if I wanted to poison you, it would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. I know chemistry. Okay.
Sweetheart, if I wanted to hurt you, I'd use my hands.
That's true. I'm sure you would, actually.
I can make it look like an accident.
But, you know, strangely, that's what my mother said. It was her first words to me, actually.
I know, probably. Michael? I think those are first words.
I can make
mother.
You look like an accident. You're not far off. Look at those ears.
Aww.
Look at those noses. Look at those noses.
Yikes. You should see the other one. That's really weird.
I don't understand. He already had a nose job. It was his sweet 16 birthday.
Look up. I'm just a recommendation. If you want a dark song kind of about what we're talking about, look up Poor Edward by Tom Waits. Okay. Let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Here we go. I was wondering if we were going to hear from Sinister tonight. Sinister, are you there?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Just a second here.
Sure.
Away from recording. All right. Sorry, I got on delay, and I'm having a hard time getting anything to work for you. That's all right. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing
and
good,
ladies.
Man.
Sorry?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Good. Doing good.
Right on. Yeah, me too. I just getting home a little while ago. Went out with my daughter and did my second live reading out at the coffee shop.
Very nice. Cool. Very nice. Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Yeah, it made me realize why when I do make some YouTube videos, I do not want me directly recorded. God, I'm horrible on film.
I think we're always our worst critics.
Yeah, well, No, there's a reason I don't want this. Anyway, I figured I'd read one that I didn't get to read tonight.
Sounds
I read
good.
Four pieces, but we're going to do this one. May or may not have read it before, but we're going to go with it.
All right, here you go.
Digressions on Primal Relays. Torrential downpour, serrating moments, passing sand, raining corrosive, this insanity rebirth, cutting teeth. Such afflictions jarringly impose upon fractals guised, trespassing my conscience into mirrored evaluation where inertia equals demise. extensions, stretched over now, subjected upon strain, catastrophic, vertigo, mortars, the granite core. Proportions and tiny nuances that don't escape home. Strewn scrapbook pieces depicted in shrill tantrums. Infallible, loathsome, feeling. Stumped like redwoods down this drive adhered. Eccentrically resilient and expelling nuclear ponderings. Such fallout once silenced the rising sun's bountiful seas. Rancid in toxicity, my natural reaction. But a sneeze. Gone is Rome. Serpent's adder is willowed branches of Lamester deceit, blossoming under insolent fruitings lined up relentlessly. Comfort is reverberating echoes of brash commonality, these incursions know little of privacy. Holler, longingly, devotion, exaggerates humanity. Let my corpse offer sacrifice under buzzards of the sun. Squirming pestilence are inklings of biblical rhymes spun. Languishing in tough fry pans where west over east come. Ravished, frantic, genocide, extinguishing vivid natural states. Drained, universal freight. Express strategic sensuality across boards of fancy. A frivolous tit, one engorged to nurture my fretted banality. Wisdom must condone trivial obscurity under red skies. Jaundice will infect reason's eye and polarize low tides. Vast oceans mimic. The gravity of lesser ranks is divine altar void grain. Lopsided monotony comes robed for chanting earthquakes. Dimly lit, free of short wattage, burnt on daily nefarious bright, possesses quieted carnal blessings, weekly through absent gray. Existential, intimacy, foreplay. Whimsical tunes follow varied hues, neatly aggravated in pastel ions. Embrace earnestly that which gravitates outside dreary sepultures. Once radiant in coerced power divided amongst stout wills. Guarantee not but weak fascinations, side in stories bedded for life. Experience shortened breath and accolades mounted from that you unsung. Radular incantations of cadence billowed half-heartedly on parasite. Coming on, I find flickers free of a maturity such benevolence holds. Paralyzed navigation into a realm few have found, and returning home. And peace.
Very nice, man. You know, it's funny. Haven't heard you read before. I can tell you've been out reading earlier because you're kind of in that space. I can tell you kind of worked yourself into that kind of that internal flow. It was a great read. It felt just more active. You didn't have to rev up into it, which was cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I got into it. This is a little shop. I just found out about it last week, and last week. It was the first nice day we had in weeks after rain, torrential rain. We got flooding everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there was no one really there. This week there was quite a few people there. It was cool. There's music and poetry and even this young kid, Native American kid, did the flute, you know, old flute song. And I was like, told my daughter, I said, that's history right there. That is cool to be able to watch.
Oh, you know,
that's down generation to generation, but... Yeah, it was nice. It was definitely nice. I had a good time. She had a good time. Got all amped up on coffee.
Oh, of course. That's a great thing. That's what I'm doing right now.
But wonderful, yeah, I enjoyed myself. But we needed to get out and do something father-daughter. So.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine.
He supports it, so it's cool.
That's great, man. That's great. Thanks so much for calling, too. That was it's always great having you on the show, and it feels like it wouldn't be complete without you calling. So thank you.
I'm glad I caught it. You know, I'm getting home late. I don't even know where you guys are. I figured you're on return engagement, though. So.
That's exactly where we are. Well done.
All right, fellas.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, Sinister. Man. Sinister, thanks so much, man. And that was Sinister calling all the way from Missouri. All right.
I'm going to get ready to... Sunshine State.
The Sunshine State. The Show Me State.
It's the Show Me State. I know that.
You know what?
couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
He's hugging his guitar.
It's Missouri. It's the show me state, but the very first take of that tagline was cut the crap and show us your Willie state.
Oh, okay.
I think I like the show me state better. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
I'm saying, are you ready? Christine's looking at me with this look of trepidation, like, what's he doing?
Which is a normal look that I have.
Yeah,
on my face.
It's very true, actually. All right, so next we're heading to a space, and I'm going to do the theme song of the state before we bring her on. So one moment.
Oh. Okay.
Connecticut. Barbara, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Did we have the phone issue again?
Oh, my gosh.
Great.
Okay, so Barbara, if you can hear us, we're having an issue with the phone. Just hang up, call us right back. We'll bring you on live. In the meantime,
we will be serenaded.
Connecticut. By the way, this is being performed without most muscles in my arm here, so this is kind of hard. And welcome, Barbara, from Connecticut.
Theme song for Connecticut, yes.
Don't you think it fits? I think it fits. There's bound to be a couple great places. Yeah.
Yes. I only heard one word, Connecticut.
Well, I mean, that's all that really needed to be said, I think. You know?
It's true. It is what it is.
Once you hear the word Connecticut, one can only think of the Phrygian mode. That's all I can say.
The who?
The Phrygian, it's a music joke. I'll just.
Oh, okay.
Let it be.
I'm sorry. I don't know what
it is. An ancient Greek tribe that does it. Never mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have Philip here to help me. So.
Well, damn it.
No. I'm sure Philip knows what that is, but I don't. The reason I wasn't here was because I was watching that, that TV show. I don't know if you've heard of it.
She was watching.
It's on Netflix.
What's it called?
13 Reasons Why.
Yes, that's a fantastic show.
Yes. And it created a great deal of discussion with us. I mean, my daughters are all in their 30s, and, you know, I'm way past that. We have a lot of discussion about it, so I can only imagine what teenagers are thinking as they watch it. Anyway, I wanted to say, because of watching that show, that I think what you should do in your classroom is make people feel important no matter what sex they are. I mean, really make them feel important for their minds. What they say, how they act, what they do, you know, and try to bring that kind of importance into your classroom where we're learning and intellectual discussion are more important than what you look like.
Well, I'd like to think that that's the bedrock of what I'm already doing, but I get the point, like, for sure, because that's definitely kind of something that I kind of see as a requirement once you come in the door.
Yeah, and you see, this may be a requirement, but kids aren't thinking that way, and especially boys, because at this age they're starting to look at girls as objects. And so girls have to be seen as more than objects for them, that they have a mind. And I think it's important to highlight the minds of the girls.
Yeah, well, that's not my recollection of it at that age, but I definitely understand. So you're saying I should pepper in things when I'm talking to the boys, too, to make them feel okay, too. I should say, you know, Joe, despite the fact that you have a gigantic head, I mean, this thing is huge, you have some really good thoughts going on. That was a good idea.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? Someone with small hands can't have a good opinion. Way to go, Travis.
No.
No, no.
You caught that one. You caught that one. There we go. Okay, perfect.
No, it's Friday night. I don't want to think of that now.
Well, actually, to be fair, I'm claiming that I did that on purpose. It was not an allegory. I was just thinking of someone with small hands.
So yes, so the poem that I'm reading is about my mother because it is Mother's Day and I miss her. And it was brought to my attention because Jim read that poem about his mother. So I thought I'd dig up this one, which I wrote in 2015, called Remembering Helen, My Mother. In the photo, I love a view with your hair upswept and a faraway yet happy smile on your smooth young face. I see the beauty you hid from even yourself, not believing the mirrors you saw in others' eyes or the talent you used to create my clothes and the original needlepoints you proudly signed. You and I were not the best of friends, your expectations for me always overlapping my ability to fulfill them. And I tried so hard to be the girl you wanted, but your sharp voice created a broken space where I crawled away and hid until my face no longer streamed with tears. And then you wrapped me in your soft bosom and held me like a baby, reassuring me you would always love me. But once again, I had disappointed you. We sparred through my 30s until at last we attained a truce for the remaining years. And your last words to me, as your wasted body could no longer fight, your voice 1,000 decibels lower than normal, so I had to lean over, and you moved me closer, whispering in my ear, as you had so many times before, on this day before you slipped into permanent sleep. And the faceless, hooded stranger appeared to usher you away. I love you, in the sing-song way you always said it, those familiar words tickling me as the vibration moved through my body and the message spread to my heart. End poem.
Wow. Christine, what do you think? I feel like I take up so much space. So I'm just trying to.
Well, no, I applaud because it was a great read. It was a great poem, but it was such a touching, sad moment that you don't want to applaud to go, yay!
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. But that's performance, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's why it was like slowly clapping.
So she's reading it. It's there, but at the same time. You know, we think about it, and this is something I had to put my head through as well, is realizing that when people write the poem, they're really kind of channeling the emotion. A lot of times when they're reading it, they'll feel it a bit, but it's not the same as when they composed it.
Right.
So they're communicating the idea when they're performing it, and which is a little bit different. But Barbara, I really like that one. Thank you.
Thank you. That was, you know, that she was a big. See, that's the other thing. I mean. You learn a lot from your mom, and my mother was always obsessed about how she looked. And she was not a thin woman. She was never thin. And she had a lot of problems about her weight and her body because from the very beginning, her mother made her feel like she was too heavy.
Oh, really?
Even as a girl. She took away desserts and stuff. And that just created so much trauma in my mother's life that she was so worried that I would become too, you know, heavy. And so I used to worry about it constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And not looking as good as some of the thinner girls, you know, because I was a bit chubby when I was a little girl. And then, you know, going into teen, I was not thin.
Right.
So I never felt that I belonged or that I wasn't fat, but I thought I was. And so, you know, I've written a number of poems about that experience. But this one was like, I could never do enough for her, you know. I could never be that girl that she wanted. And took us a very long time to come to some kind of conclusion about who I was and what she could expect from me, you know. And then we became friends, but it was late in my life, you know, it was like in my 30s that we finally came to this conclusion. And, you know, there was so much fighting and anger that, you know, I kind of missed that mother-daughter thing because she wasn't, like, with me as much as I wanted to. And so, you know, anyway, that's... mothers and daughters do have this thing, and I'm sure Christine understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole other show, Barbara.
Yeah, it's a whole other therapy session.
I have that thing with my daughters, but we don't fight like that. You know, I made it my business to be there for my daughters and not to let that chasm grow where I didn't know what was going on in their life, you know. And now, of course, I live with them, so it's different. But still, you know, I feel that on this Mother's Day, we should appreciate all the things that mothers have to go through.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and understand that if your mother is not perfect, it's not because she doesn't want to be perfect, but that, you know, no one's perfect, but still... she's trying to strive for perfection, but it just, you know, it doesn't always happen.
I think that's a good thing to remember on Mother's Day. And, you know, I think there is, like you said, daughters and mothers have their thing, and fathers and sons definitely have their thing. And I think it is some incredibly complex relationships, but there's a lot of truth and a lot of beauty and a lot of deep, deep spiritual work that happens. And, you know, it's really something. I'm personally very, very blessed, and I say that very directly, and feel very lucky that I have as good of a relationship with my parents as I do. And I've really strived to do that. Yeah,
that's great. I mean, I do have a great relationship with my daughters, and but they still look at me sometimes like, "What are you talking about, Mom? This didn't really happen, did it?" You know, it's like, I'm trying to explain to them things that happened and they don't know about it, or they forgot about it. And so they tell me, "Oh, we didn't do this," or "I didn't do this." And, you know, it's a very weird situation. It's like, did I make it up?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sure they're happy to have you. And I wish you guys the best Mother's Day. And I hope
thank you. And you too, with your mom. And glad you still have her. And to anybody else who still has their mother, happy Mother's Day. And to those who are missing their mothers, as I am, happy Mother's Day to you too. All right, I'm getting off. Do you have another person after me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm getting off then.
Actually, I'm kidding, Barbara. Okay, thank you so much. Barbara, we will talk to
you
next time. All right.
Okay, yes. Great
thank
show.
You.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I was going to make some sarcastic joke about having another poet, and it just didn't happen, so now I just sound like I'm a liar.
It's just Connecticut. Yeah.
It's just what it is. It's Connecticut. They get that kind of thing all the time.
It's okay.
All right.
But a dun dun
dun. Yeah, so anyway, that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Connecticut. And now that is actually the end of our return engagement segment. So it's been a pretty short show. It's been a couple weeks. So what we'd like to ask you to do is invite two people to come listen to the show and share work and just kind of, you know, call and hang out. I think it's a great thing, and we would love to have some more people. We're kind of stagnating a little bit. We're noticing that with the amount of callers. So let's do it. Let's breathe some lifeblood into this. Join us next Friday, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The podcast should be up of this show within about 24 hours or so. And we're so pleased that you joined us. We'll see you next week.
Happy Mother's Day, all.
Happy Mother's Day,
y'all.
Mother's Day.